141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Matt O'Reilly's hoping for a special weekend at Tynecastle. Billy Dodd says the later Scottish Cup kickoff time isn't ideal, and Hibs appoint Brian McDermott as their new Director of Football. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Plenty going on this weekend, Andrew, where things will certainly be decided. All starts tomorrow night in the Championship, where we've got the top of the table clash for the outright winners, Dundee versus Queen's Park. Can't wait for that one. And also at the bottom of the table, it will be decided for the automatic relegation place between Cove and Hamilton. And then over the weekend, huge games in the relegation battle on Saturday, but then the league title can be mathematically clinched for Celtic at Tynecastle. What's to look forward to?
Great 3 days of football coming up, you've got to say. Exciting for teams out with Celtic and Rangers just now. As Mark quite rightly touched upon there, tomorrow night's massive in the Championship. Then we've got Saturday and Sunday. Great games, plenty of goals, plenty of action, and plenty of talking points.
Yeah, well, the guys touched on it. There's so much to talk about, and we want to hear from you on 01419511025. Celtic fans, could be a big weekend ahead for you. A win at Tynecastle, of course, would seal the title. I'm sure you've got some thoughts about that. Lots of talk yesterday about the Scottish Cup final, the kickoff time. Some people not so happy about it, others not too bothered. Billy Dodds has had his say today as well. Maybe you've got some thoughts on that. Rangers fans, where do you go from here at the moment? Still quite early with the game on Sunday, but what do you want to see from your team? What do you want Michael Beale to do for the rest of the season? Of course, there's that exciting end to the Championship season tomorrow night as well. So whatever is on your mind, anything else, 0141 951 1025. Or as I say, you can send us a tweet as well at Clyde SSB. We talked about it there, Mark. So much to build up to. We've got the league tables in front of us there, and as exciting as the Championship is going to be tomorrow night, there'll be a lot of people that will have their eyes on Sunday as well when it comes to the Premiership.
Of course, and it's quite unique that it's all fell on the one weekend, because sometimes this can run on. Obviously the Championship's the last games, but the league title can sometimes run on into the split. It's not to be the case. But in the Championship, I mean, how interesting has that been this season? And to finish off with a shootout at the top, it is quite extraordinary. And at the bottom of the table, poor old Hamilton and Cove, obviously not playing each other, but we'll find out their fate tomorrow. Automatic relegation, but all attention will turn to Saturday. Relegation battle, huge game. I mean, for Dundee United away to St Johnstone, who they won there earlier in the season, they'll be wanting to replicate that and then leapfrog St Johnstone. And you would then think, well, Jim Goodwin's been a great appointment, he's got Dundee United out the mess that they were in. Ross County v Livy, that'll tell you a lot where they're going to be next season as well. And Kelly going to Motherwell. Motherwell safe. Will Kelly spring an upset? But then over to Tynecastle on Sunday. I mean, Celtic had a fantastic weekend last weekend. They could follow it by being champions away at Tynecastle. I'll just be interesting to see what the team lineup will be. Carter Vickers out, Alistair Johnson out. How will the players that come in react? I don't think that Ange Postecoglou will have any issues in that respect.
Yeah, there was also a Youth Cup final last night as well, that I'm sure we'll look back on, which was absolutely, I think it was maybe 3-3 at the time that the show went off air last night. Ended up a 6-5 win for Celtic. That's quite something.
Yeah, and it was obviously that exciting. I was speaking to a few people today, and that's what they were talking about. The quality, the excitement, the goals, 11 goals. Absolutely fantastic, and well done to Celtic. And obviously a big game tonight, Rangers and Celtic ladies playing as well. So plenty of talking points in the football.
No, yeah. Not working much on defending both sides, are they? On the training ground with the young teams.
But it's entertaining though for everyone.
Attacking football it's called. Attacking football, that's what we want to see. That's what the fans want to see.
Basketball
young,
match.
Young lads like going for it, creating great chances, scoring goals. I just think the excitement's brilliant.
Yeah, I'd take that over a 0-0 draw.
He sounds elated. He's a bit tired tonight, Andrew. You're going to have to drag a lot out of him. He's playing golf early.
Nah,
he's not getting any younger.
Shut up. Full of energy, Andrew. Bring it on. Get the collars on.
He was almost sleeping.
I thought you were going to say get the coffee out. Anyway, right. So let's go to the phones. 01419511025. Scott is a Celtic fan in Cambuslang. Scott, what is on your mind tonight?
Well, just a couple of points. Anyway, before I start, hello guys, how are you all doing? Hope you are well.
The cup final
last night. What a game that was! You know, end to end, no fear. You know, into the tackles. You know, I really, really enjoyed that. I thought it was a great game. You know, I think the two teams went for it. You know, very entertaining. My second point is obviously the cup final. That time it's on at 5:30.
We'll take that first, Scott, and I'll let you come back in to talk about the time of the Scottish Cup final. I'll be honest, I didn't expect to be starting the show with a Youth Cup final, but I don't mind at all. That's what Scott wants to talk about. It was an extremely entertaining game. It's a good stage as well for these young players to go out at Hampden in front of, I think it was only really friends and family that were there in the ground, but there was, you know, a big crowd watching on TV as well. A lot of people watching at home. It is great for them to go out there and show what they can do. It's great for supporters as well to see the next generation that are coming through.
Certainly is. I think, certainly supporters of Celtic Rangers, you know, they love stars coming in through all over the world, and transfer windows are sometimes the highlights of people's season. But I don't think they love anything more than a young player coming through and breaking into the ranks and catching a glimpse. And we've seen that from Celtic and Rangers this season. But this was the next generation. Now, I always remembered growing up in the Youth Cup, and I was with Dundee United at the time. never got close to the final ever. Celtic always was very strong. From my age group, you saw the progression of these players that actually went on to win the Youth Cup, then into the kind of reserve setup, and then all of a sudden the first team set up. So it was, you know, the people watching TV, that's the right platform. I think it should be televised. Such an important game in our calendar to see what's coming through. And they're certainly entertained. And if anybody's any thoughts it shouldn't be televised, well, they'll think differently, you know, after last night, because that is entertainment. Daz is right. I was joking about the defending, but that's what you want to see in football games.
Great for young players. I was very fortunate that I joined Rangers as a young lad at 14. I went full-time when I was 16. And some of these games, it was called the Glasgow Cup final then. You were looking at sometimes at Ibrox, 20,000 there, Andrew. You know, the supporters wanted to come out and see the young and up-and-coming talent. They certainly got that when they seen me running out there with a feather cut. But I thoroughly enjoyed them, and they were a great experience. And Mark's right, the game should be televised. It's great for fans to see what's coming through the ranks, and they obviously served up a very entertaining game.
Scott's obviously looking at this from a Celtic perspective. When you watch that Celtic youth team, you could see sort of Ange Postecoglou's fingerprints all over the style of play, and it just shows that, you know, there is throughout Celtic, they're trying to do the exact same thing, and that obviously helps when you're trying to promote young players up to the first team, because they wouldn't know exactly what role they'll be playing.
Well, it needs to be. If the manager, the first team manager, is head of the house, if he wants to play a specific way, then he needs to know that everything underneath is feeding into that. So if they're called upon, they know exactly the same rotations, how to take the ball in tight areas, you know, not to fear anything in their own final third when they're in possession. And you could see that last night. It must be very difficult as a youth coach to kind of implement that, because got to remember, youth coaching slightly different, that you don't get the sack after 10 games if you don't win, but still you're under pressure at a club like Celtic. If you're not seen to be actually winning things, you will come under pressure. To do that match with playing the way the manager, incredibly difficult. So, you know, hats off to them, got it right, and it looks like there's a bright future for some of these kids.
Just before we get on to your point about the Scottish Cup final, Scott, were there any players in particular that caught your eye last night?
Before I go to that, well, young Vata came on the scene under that kind of circumstances. He's come up to the first team and he looks pretty damn good if he gets a wee chance, you know. So he came for the same setup. The captain of Celtic, can't remember his name. He looked
Kyle
solid.
Muir.
What a player he is, you know. He looked very vocal, you know. What you seen in the TV, you know, he was always marching his players about and whatever else. I think obviously I'm going to look at a Celtic point of view because I'm a Celtic fan, but I'm also a football fan, and I'm looking at the two sides. I think the two of them gave it a good goal last night. Wasn't it just one-sided, you know? And I think you're quite right, you know, you can see Ange's stamp even on that young team, you know, you can see it coming through, you know. But I think I think the two teams done well. You know, I think the two of them done well for their age and the size of the pitch for Hampden and whatever else. You know, it's not a wee pitch at the end of the day, you know, but they done really well. You know, I'm not just applauding the Celtic players. I'm applauding, obviously, the two sets of players, you know, but obviously more so because Celtic won the cup. But, you know, as I say, I'm a football fan, so I think the two teams done really well.
Just your point on the Scottish Cup final, Scott?
Right, 5:30 at night. Absolutely ridiculous, right? You know, for several reasons. One, the boys, you know, Celtic fans, you know, that's all right. You know, most of them come to Glasgow or about. But the guys from Inverness coming up, what time are they going to get home at? Right, you know, I don't think this has been thought out. And for the excuse, because obviously the cup final down south, that's good enough. What's that got to do with us? Do you know what I mean? It's no put on BBC One. Well, it's on BBC One actually, but it's irrelevant to us. Do you know what I'm saying? No, it's. I just don't think it was thought out very well, to be honest.
Yeah, what do you make of it, Mark? Because, you know, Scott says he doesn't see why it's been moved. For television reasons, you'd think any broadcaster would want to try and maximise the audience, maybe pitting it against an FA Cup final at the exact same time where Manchester City are playing Man United. There may be some viewers that would be picking and choosing, maybe if they don't have a vested interest in either game, that they're then having to pick or choose what one. Broadcasters will be wanting to maximise it, but then Scott's saying, you know, he doesn't feel it suits him. It doesn't suit a lot of supporters. The clubs aren't happy about it either.
Me personally, I think it's a blunder for the SFA. I think they've got it wrong. And I think both club statements tell you that they've got it wrong from that perspective. A decision like that should always include the clubs that are involved in it. And I understand that discussion started taking place last Thursday with the semi-finalists. By all accounts, nobody was really keen on that, but they went ahead and made the decision. There's a number of things that's just wrong with it. I mean, if the worrying thing is viewing figures and competing, well, listen, people will watch the FA Cup final if they don't want to watch Celtic Inverness anyway. So what does that matter? You would then have to dig into the Scottish Cup final viewing figures for the past so many years to compare. Now, I know the English FA Cup final has been held at 5:30 in recent times, so maybe that will be slightly skewed. But then, if it's for a BBC point of view, we've got a BBC Scotland channel here, so could it not run simultaneous on the BBC Scotland channel? And at 5:30, if it is on BBC, is it going to be networked throughout the UK and BBC? Very much doubt that. You know, so for Viaplay to, it'll be running it as well. I think it's the wrong decision. I think I'm all for tradition when it comes to the Scottish Cup final. We should have backed ourselves and stood side by side with that FA Cup final.
Once again, it's the supporters that are punished, Andrew. I think that Scott's got the point there about Celtic fans. And Celtic fans travel from all over. You know, they come from Ireland and from England and wherever, you know. Then you've got Inverness coming down there. And it's the fact of getting back home, you know. And you're trying to entice young kids as well. It's a great occasion for Inverness, Scottish Cup final. You know, some of these young kids will probably miss out on that because by the time they travel back up, the train's getting put on. So once again, it's the fans that have suffered here. It's a ridiculous time for Scottish Cup final.
Daz makes a good point about the trains. Now, checking earlier, this may change. There may be other alternative trains put on now. But the last train that I could see was 28 from Glasgow to Inverness. So unless everybody's travelling on a supporters bus or extra trains are put on, then of course the Inverness fans have been a second thought in all this, and you've got to feel for them. Celtic fans are even complaining, and the majority will live in and around the city. Of course, you'll have some travelling through Ireland as well, but I don't think fans have been considered one bit in any of this decision, mate.
Yeah, let's hear what Inverness boss Billy Dodds had to say about it today.
It's not ideal. It's not ideal. I don't think we should ever move our showpiece final to suit anybody, but it can, as I say, I can only imagine it's for TV rights or something and we don't want to clash. It's no ideal for me, but it is what it is and I'm just glad we're there. But I would rather let everybody else, 3:00 on a Saturday, should be a showpiece final, but it's not to be. I mean, if it's early, then, you know, they probably have to get down the night before or struggle to get up in the morning or get there knocking down in the one day. If it's later, they can't get home. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. That's the kind of way I feel for them. And it's the ones who are travelling the furthest, Celtic fans will be coming over for Ireland, we're coming down for Inverness. It's a shame on them, it really is, because they've got a long way to travel, and then they're getting moved about with a kick-off, and some simply just won't be able to get there, and it'll give others an opportunity.
Yeah, it has annoyed quite a few people, Mark, and I think there are people in different camps about why they're specifically annoyed about it. Billy Dodds talks about, you know, the travelling for Inverness fans, for, you know, Celtic fans that may be coming from elsewhere as well. But I think there are an element as well that are just annoyed that, you know, the English FA Cup final has any bearing at all on what the Scottish Cup final is.
Yeah, and again, that's quite unique. If you look throughout Europe and countries that are quite close together, I don't think you would see, you know, the Portuguese Cup final being changed because the Spanish Cup final.
I mean, Belgium, Scotland and England are sort of intrinsically linked in a way that they most are. Other countries they, aren't, I suppose.
They are, but I still, we're two separate entities. You know, the English FA to the SFA, two different organisations. They run different dates in the calendar. We run a different league setup where, you know, there's a split. There's all sorts of different things goes on here in Scottish football that doesn't align with English football. So why in this at this stage where a lot of people would have made plans? Bear in mind, when Inverness got through, by the way, there's some people that would have thought, I'm getting a ticket, by the way, I'm getting right on and booked my train and I'm booking whatever else on the day and booked things already. Probably similar with Celtic fans as soon as the final whistle went against Rangers. And now what they're doing, they're looking at their situation, try to change plans. So again, the fans, and it's been quite often the case, the fans are a second thought when it comes to organising things in this country.
Yeah, there definitely were discussions that took place, Gordon, mm-hmm. but I think in the Celtic statement they said something along the lines of they didn't feel there was enough meaningful consultation between the governing body and the clubs. That'll be something that will really frustrate the clubs if they feel they haven't been, you know, brought into the discussion, and that their thoughts haven't really been heard.
Well, the clubs are the most important because they're the ones that are competing in the cup final. They want to look after their own supporters, of course they do, especially, you know, the size of the Celtic support. And Billy Dodds, you can tell that he's not particularly happy, but on the other side, he'd be looking, thinking, well, I'll tell you what, if you'd have said to me at the beginning of the campaign, if we'll play at 5:30 in the Scottish Cup final, I'd have bit your hand off. But Mark's right, it goes back to the supporters. They're the ones that are going to suffer.
Well, thank you to Scott. If you've got any thoughts on any of these topics or anything else, maybe you fancy changing the subject, 0141 951 1025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and we want you to join us as well. 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Nice of you to be together in the studio after you were split up earlier in the week. You were
missed them.
Busy.
I missed them.
Too busy for us. Where were you on
Tuesday? I was mixing up with the ex-president of the United States.
You weren't mixing it. You were chasing him about a golf course.
No. I was down at Turnberry, Andrew.
Trying to get a video.
And just by coincidence, Donald Trump was there. He bumped into me.
Not get a photo with him, no?
You know what? No, by the way, this is a true story. So I was on the 18th green and putting for an eagle. And who disturbs my putt?
Yeah, just dropping that in there, yeah.
I'm putting for an eagle. And
was this a scramble?
And who didn't even mention that, right? But who comes in his golf cart right by us? Donald Trump. He says to me, is everything okay, gentlemen? Is everything going well? And I went, all good, thank you.
You would have been buzzing with that as well, because you were just telling us off air that you're his biggest fan and you love all his policies and everything like that, weren't you?
Let's keep that in the dungle.
Just take that red cap off, all right?
Make America great again. He was cutting about with that one.
He got a video for 50 yards away. That's the nearest he got.
Well, see, when he's standing as close to you and he's talking to me, I'm not going to take out my phone and start videoing him. That's when he drove away. I thought, I'll get him driving away.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So me and Donald, good pals.
Did you see
Reminds
him?
Me a lot of this guy. A lot of the same hair. Outlooks in life and extracurricular activities.
I like a game of golf. Very cap on.
Right, I think we should leave that one there. 0141 951 1025. Let's go back to the phone. Scott is a Celtic fan in Barmulloch. Scott, what is on your mind tonight?
Just before I go any further, can you imagine Gordon Dale, Mark Wilson bumping into him and having a conversation with him? You just, the mind boggles about what's happening there, doesn't it? Really boggles.
There's a show in there. There's a podcast or something.
Well, that was all right, but Scott's right. If you introduced this guy to him,
I'm McDonald now. We're gone very well.
That would be frightening. A point about last night's game. I did the pleasure of sitting watching that last night for 120 minutes. What a game of football! If I'd have paid 40 or 50 quid to go and see that, I'd have been over the moon with the entertainment I got. Not just for the Celtic side, but the Rangers side as well. They had some good talent there as well. The football going forward with both teams, you can probably tell the defences were maybe a bit open, but both teams, the football going forward was outstanding. It's just a pity none of us could get in to watch it in the flesh. It's not all right seeing it on the telly, but I'm sure the players would have enjoyed a better crowd at it. My main point is really regarding youth, the youth set-up at Celtic Park. Over the last sort of 2 to 3 years, there's been a glut of players that come through for Celtic. I've got 7 names here. Liam Morrison and Barry Hepburn went to Bayern Munich. Leo Hielda and Rory Mahady went to Leeds. Ben Doak went to Liverpool. Ronan Ferns went to Brighton. And there's another boy, Frankie Dean. I'm not sure who he went to. All the players left Celtic. All the players were brought through our club. And all the players left for big money. So see this fallacy that Celtic can't bring players through? It is exactly that. It's rubbish. Celtic are bringing them through. The problem is we can't pay to keep them. I mean, if I was told that Ben Doak was in something like £600 a week and he went to Liverpool and it either went to £2,500 or £3,000 a week or even more, I'm not 100% sure. But to say that we don't bring players through, and if you count Kieran Tierney, Callum McGregor, James Forrest and a lot of other players that have went on to other things, at one point Ross County had 7 players in their team that had come through Celtic's youth ranks, guys like Rocco Quinn, Scott Fox, Marcus Fraser, Michael Gardine, all come through the Celtic ranks. We do produce players. The problem is, some of them are not good enough to hit the heights, but other ones that do, we can't keep them because of the money.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't kid on to know what Ben Doak is earning down at Liverpool. I think Frankie Dean, who you talked about there, moved down to Burnley as well last summer. But that, a lot of it, Mark, is to do with the sort of new rules that have come in with Brexit, and it's harder for players coming from abroad to get work permits. So a lot of the English clubs are now looking at the top talent in Scotland. Clubs across Scotland, their top young talent is getting poached. It's happening all the time now, and it will be a big source of frustration for clubs in Scotland, because it's so tough just to compete with the big academies down south and the money as well.
Of course it is, and that's generally always been the case. Well, since I was growing up anyway. I mean, I remember when I was a young kid, I got offered, I mean, quadruple whatever I was on at Dundee United just to go down and be an academy player. Now, when you get to Ben Doak and players like that, obviously escalates more. But to say Ben Doak, or Scott's suggesting, if that's what Ben Doak is earning at the minute, which I don't know if it is, I'd suspect maybe higher, that Celtic couldn't match that. If Celtic could match that, you know, he's not asking for 30 grand a week. But the lure down south is what gets young players. And it's the bright lights of the Premier League and what could happen.
Ben Doak's maybe an exceptional case as well, because a lot of these players go down south and you don't hear from them for a few years because, you know, they go straight into the academies. Ben Doak has done that, but has shown to be such a talent that Jurgen Klopp has kept an eye on him. He's now made several first team appearances as well, so he's maybe not the main example to look at in this, but there are just plenty of players that have gone down and maybe just not got anywhere near the first team football or exposure that they maybe would have got if they'd stayed up in Scotland.
Yeah, it's a big gamble for a lot of players, because you go down into that sort of a situation in the English Premier League, you're coming up against real quality and lots of quality, because, as you quite rightly say, the academies down there, they've got so many players, and we've seen it before, young players going down with great talent, and their career falls away a little bit. I agree with Mark. I would like to see, as much as the big clubs do come up and poach, whether it's a young good player or you know, an experienced player, because certainly the money is the lure of going down to the English Premiership and the Championship as well, pay very good money. I would like to see maybe one or two staying for a few years here, breaking through into the first team. Because Scott says there, he's mentioned a lot of players. You know, Kieran Tierney, for instance, played a lot of games for Celtic, won trophies. Timing was right, goes to Arsenal. McGregor decided to stay at Celtic. Forrest has given his career to Celtic as well. So I just think that there should be an opportunity for Celtic and Rangers and teams like Aberdeen. When I was getting brought through the ranks, you know, you had teams at Aberdeen, for instance, under Fergie, had some absolutely fantastic young players. And the one thing that Fergie, and this is why he broke the Old Firm at that time, he was prepared to give youth a chance. And I feel sorry for some youth players just now, because, as you say, you watch that game last night, you watch the standard, and you can talk about one or two players, and you think, terrific talent, but where's the pathway for them to be a regular in the Celtic, i.e. first team or the Rangers first
but
team?
But let's be honest, it does boil all down to money. And that's the be-all and end-all, because, look, Celtic and Rangers are huge clubs, can compete with any of those big ones down south in terms of what they can offer in a football respect. But I think we are slow to reward young Scottish talent. I don't know what's right. It's probably the right way. Probably the opposite in England. They reward them too early and give them these huge contracts and huge money, and the motivation dies and they end up petering out, whether we are more dangling the carrot. But if you've got over the border offering these kids huge sums of money, then of course they're going to jump ship. But I would like to see a better progression at Celtic. I know what Scott's saying. He's listed a whole host of players that have made careers elsewhere. But I remember before I signed for Celtic, coming up against a great glut of players that all played first team. That's what I call making it at Celtic and Rangers. When you get in the first team, not just for one or two appearances, but you're continually involved. And I think that's fell away a wee bit. We've seen a wee bit of Vata, but not many recently.
Yeah, I think Rocco Vata and Ben Summers are the two at Celtic that, you know, are at a very young age, 17, 18, that have made first team appearances this season. But it's part of the problem when it comes to Celtic and Rangers is every single game is so vital. Every single competition that Celtic and Rangers are in is so vital. It's not like down south where maybe the EFL Cup, the League Cup down there, clubs maybe don't take it as seriously, so it gives younger players an opportunity to get in. Celtic and Rangers need to win every single game. They need to win every single competition they're in. So it's maybe seen as a bigger risk putting in these young players
argument,
because there's so much on the line.
Seeing that argument, I don't particularly agree with that, because I think Celtic, with the players that they've got, you're not telling me that young Vata, for instance, I'm a big fan. What I've seen of him, I really like the look of the lad. You're not telling me that he can't get in at Celtic Park and play against Kilmarnock, Ross County's Motherwell.
I suppose they've also got a really deep squad as well. You look at the wingers Celtic have, and Rocco Vata is then trying to get ahead of them in the squad as well, when Ange Postecoglou is already trying to rotate the game time around the four or five wingers that he's got that
this
are all.
This is where I was getting to my point. You're 100% spot on. As a manager, he's got to make sure that there's other players there, because if you look at Celtic's front three, Maeda, Jota and Kyogo, and then you look at the backup, Haksabanovic, people like James Forrest when he's fit as well, you know, you've got players there that have got to get match fitness and they've got to get games, because you're paying good money for these players, and it's usually the youth that suffers. But it'll be interesting to see what young Vata and players like that do next year, because I think Postecoglou is a manager that would, and I think Michael Beale's the same, if they're good enough we'd give them an opportunity.
Well, thank you to Scott. Let's stick with the phones. Jack is a Celtic fan in Greenock. Jack, what's on your mind?
Hi, guys. First time caller, so a bit nervous. But I've got 2 points quickly. My first point was seeing Ange at the Youth Cup final last night, and no doubt he'll be at the women's final tonight along with the directors. I don't know how it happened, how it was in the past with directors at youth finals and women's finals, but I feel ever since Ange's came in, you know, the club has had a boost in energy. You know, it feels like a big family, and I was just kind of wondering from the panel's point of view, how do they think that Ange's made such an amazing effect on Celtic?
Well, there was no need to be nervous, because that was more coherent than anything these two have said in the start of the show. But yeah, I mean, Jack's point is just about the impact Ange Postecoglou has had generally. Photos of him at the game last night, keeping a close eye on things. And I suppose having him there as well as even extra motivation for those young players out there, because they know he's watching on?
Well, I think so, but I don't think it's unique in terms of that's never happened in the past. You know, I've seen plenty of managers going along to youth, because one, it's their job to know what's going on underneath the first team level, and like you said there, Andrew, it's a great support for those young players and a special occasion to look up and see your manager. So those would have loved seeing the Celtic manager there. I mean, photographs of Ange and the directors and Peter Lowell all laughing. What's not to laugh about at the minute? Everything's rosy in the garden. They're in the Scottish Cup final. They could wrap up the league this week. Another treble on the horizon. Transfer policy, an overwhelming success. So of course, when they're photographed, there's not much to frown about. But for those young players, that is special, knowing that you've got the club hierarchy, the top guys at the club there at your game assessing you, does make you feel special, and it goes a long way.
Well, the most famous manager, probably the best British manager for a long time, Alex Ferguson, was well known for knowing every person's name in the club. And you showed you the success that obviously he had. And I think Mark's right. First and foremost, you've got to look at it as his job, because he has to know what's coming up, you know, in the academy, what's happening, how it's going forward, how it's progressing. But for any young kid that takes that part last night, there's nothing better than the feeling. And the guys would have been told in the dressing room, listen, the manager's here to watch you, to support you, go out there and put a performance on. And it was great for him to go and do that.
Jack, just looking ahead to this weekend, how excited are you as a Celtic fan of what could be achieved on Sunday?
I think it's history in the making. Again, Ange has got the opportunity to, you know, hopefully win the title against Hearts and then hopefully win the Scottish Cup final and be in amongst some of the Celtic greats by winning a treble. So for me, being 23 and kind of, you know, my dad always says I was the selfish generation of always kind of seeing Celtic at the top. I think it's just continuing under Ange, and I think, you know, I'm blessed to see what Celtic can do.
I mean, Mark, this is the next part of what Celtic could achieve this season. They're looking, well, they're going to win the league title, could be this weekend. They then got a Scottish Cup final against Inverness. How big would a treble be for Ange Postecoglou in his first season? Second season.
Monumental for him, because he puts himself right there along the greats. Jock Stein, Martin O'Neill, Brendan Rodgers, Neil Lennon did it as well. So he puts himself right up there. You think of what that means in terms of the history of Celtic. It is huge. Said on Saturday, I can't quite remember a connect between a Celtic manager and the fans. Probably, okay, Martin O'Neill maybe, Tommy Burns certainly, but again, a treble just confirms that, and it allows them then to go all guns blazing for European success, or some shape of European success, whatever that may look like. But a treble as a Celtic manager sets you right up there in the top of the greats.
Well, thank you to Jack. Make sure to call us again sometime soon. And if you've got any thoughts at home, 01419511025. Maybe you've got some thoughts on Rangers fans, or of course there is that exciting end to the Championship season tomorrow. Maybe your club is in action. We want to hear from you.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Andrew McLean. We've been taking a look at, well, the Youth Cup final last night. Actually, quite a few people wanted to talk about that 6-5 win for Celtic. Of course, a huge weekend ahead in the Premiership. Massive tomorrow night in the Championship as well. So get your calls in, 01419511025. It will also be an interesting weekend for Rangers, Gordon DL, because I think a lot of Rangers fans will be looking at this game and be intrigued to see what team Michael Beale is going to put out against Aberdeen, because they've not really not got anything to play for with five games left of the season. There'll be big question marks over who Michael Beale's going to play, who he's possibly going to leave out.
Yeah, I'm interested myself to see who's going to play, who's going to leave out. You say there's nothing to play for, Andrew. When you're playing with a club like Rangers, every game's important to you, because the supporters will be long there in their numbers, demanding probably a performance, demanding a win. You've got an Aberdeen team coming down and full of confidence, playing very well, winning games, new manager announced. So they'll fancy it. But yeah, if you're a Rangers supporter going along on Sunday, the most important thing for you, I think, and most exciting, is what the team's going to play. You know, I can't for the life of me see Kent being involved in that. You wonder if he'll mix one or two things up. You look at Morelos. I think a lot of Rangers fans have had enough of him. I was talking about him the other night, Tuesday. I think he's been a terrific servant to Rangers in the sense of scoring goals, obviously top scorer in Europe as well, so he's achieved quite a lot, but it's not been a great season for him. It looks like he's on his way out, so you wonder how Michael Beale, because you've still got to look at Aberdeen's got a bit of a difficult game, and then you've still got another important game the following week when Celtic come visiting, and if Celtic don't get anything at Tynecastle, which would surprise me, then they could go and win the league at Ibrox. So there's still plenty to play for Rangers.
Well, let's get the thoughts of David, who's a Rangers fan in Livingston. David, what are you thinking about your club at the moment?
Not very good, to be honest, but I just feel now's an opportunity for Michael Beale. The players he's planning to keep for next season, players that want to stay with Rangers and players he wants to move out, I think this is his opportunity now to put them on trial to see if it's going to work going forward. If it's not going to work in his plans, once he's seen them play these last five games, it gives him the opportunity to put them on the market and move them on. But mostly it's about the goalkeeping situation at Rangers. As you know, Alan McGregor was meant to retire last year. Obviously, they've given him a new deal to keep him on. Obviously, I think it was planned as a number two, but with John McLaughlin going in goals, it's not going to plan for him, so they've had to put Alan McGregor back in. Now, I feel he's done not bad this season, obviously, odd error, but the defence hasn't helped. But I feel Rangers missed a massive opportunity at the start of the season to get a goalkeeper on a free transfer, and that would be Xander Clark. Now, Xander Clark was meant to go to England. Obviously, the manager down there got sacked and moved on, so that deal fell through. Now, he sat for 2 months as a free agent, I think, and obviously Hearts snapped him up. And as I say, I believe he's on about £2,000 a week with Hearts. Obviously, it was a free transfer. Now, I feel Rangers should have brought him in as Alan McGregor to play alongside Alan McGregor. Even at that, I think Robbie McCrory deserves a chance now that McLaughlin's obviously didn't hold the number one spot. But I just feel starting for Sunday, he should be playing all the players that are staying with Rangers that he's planning on keeping. The rest of them, just move them out. Same with McGregor. He's not going to be. I don't think he'll be staying on another year. So give Robbie McCrory the chance to prove himself in these last five games. He's played with Livingston. He's played in the league. He's played in a final. He played well in the European for us. And he played well, as I say, against Celtic, with pulling off the save right at the end. So I feel he deserves a chance. Now, I'll just say one more thing. It's just with Jack Butland. Now, Rangers are looking at, well, there's paper talk just now about bringing him in. He's a free agent now. He's on loan from Crystal Palace at Manchester United. Now, he's no number one at Crystal Palace. He's no number one at Man United, so he's no playing. So why would you bring him in at £45,000 a week for a goalkeeper, which I don't think you need to pay that for in the Scottish League, when you've got Robbie McCrory there? If not, if they did bring in Sander Clark, it would only be £2,000 a week, which is over a £72 million a year in wages in a goalkeeper, which is a lot of money that could go to other players in the squad. Now, I feel the top earner, I would say, is probably Joe Hart in the league at £15,000 a week. So I just feel we don't need to be squandering that kind of money on a goalkeeper.
David, how do you know all these wages?
Because I Google them.
You Google them all. Okay, then.
Most reliable thing as well. I look up your two salaries on Google as well.
We do it for the love of the show.
Aye, that'll be right. Anyway, David covered a lot of ground there. I mean, if we start with Robbie McCrory, is it now time for Robbie McCrory to get his chance? Michael Beale has talked about it a lot and said that because he's now back fit, he has been. Well, he's not even been on the bench in recent weeks for Rangers because he's been injured, but he has been back as a sort of third goalkeeper in the squad in the last couple of weeks. Michael Beale said that he will get his chances. Now the time for him to be thrown in to see what he can do.
Well, it's got to be. The boy's 25 years old. He's been at the club a long time. I think both Michael Beale and Van Bronckhorst have known that Alan McGregor's days are numbered. I think we all knew that, of course. Age just caught up with him. And nothing much has been done in the situation. And we keep hearing McCrory is going to get his chance. I get he's been injured. He's got to play sometime. Now, they see him every day in training, and you can only gauge so much from that. But you actually need to see him in a pressurised environment. Now, I get he's played in high pressure games before, but you need to see that over a run of games. I still don't think it's ideal that there's only five games left. And okay, you've got Aberdeen, you've got Celtic, you've got Hearts in there, which are big games within themselves, but there's nothing at the end of that in terms of pressure. So I don't know if that will even define to say that he'll be the number one. I still think a name like Jack Butland, although David doesn't agree on the 40 plus grand a week he's on, he might be the one. I don't think he'll get that at Rangers, but the opportunity to come and perhaps revive his career might be enough to tempt him to Rangers. But I think Michael Beale will certainly look out with the club to appoint his number one.
Yeah, well, we take wage demands out of it, because you know, you never know exactly what any player are earning, no matter what Google says. But was, first of all, was Xander Clark a missed opportunity for Rangers, Gordon, as David thinks?
I can see David's point of view. I think he's come in and done well at Hearts. Whether he could, you know, perform like that in Rangers, because it's a completely different ball game going to a club the size of Rangers. The pressure on week in, week out. He's waited for his chance. He's a decent enough goalkeeper, but I think they'll look elsewhere. It'll be interesting to see who they do bring in. And on the subject of McCrory, he's what, 25 now. He's not played a lot of football, but he's been injured. You just wonder. And Michael Beale has said earlier that he was going to be given an opportunity. So this might be his opportunity, but I'm sure that they will certainly sign a goalkeeper in the summer. And, you know, I agree with £1,600 a show mark. That will be interesting, because a lot of important games coming up still.
In terms of Jack Butland, he certainly seems to be a player Rangers are interested in. David's concern is that he hasn't played a lot of football recently. I think the last time he was an established number one at any club was in the Championship with Stoke in the 2019-20 season. So he's gone a few years where he's been a sort of bit part role at clubs, or maybe just spending his time on the bench. Would that be a concern?
No, I don't think it would be. I think that if you sign for teams that he signed for, let's say Manchester United, he's out on loan at Crystal Palace, okay, you can say he's not getting a game. I think if he comes up, gets a good pre-season under his belt, Andrew, I think he's certainly got the ability that I wouldn't be too concerned about him being the number one next year. But obviously it's all down to money as well.
Well, thank you to David, but now it's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, Beat the Pundit time for you to phone in before 7 o'clock, 01419511025, and you can pit your wits against either Mark Wilson or Gordon DL to win a signed ball. But not only that, because whoever gets drawn out the hat to play Gordon DL or Mark Wilson tonight will also win a pair of tickets to an unforgettable experience at the SEC Armadillo on Friday the 12th of May. It's a tribute night to Wim Jansen and Celtic's 1997-98 team to mark the 25th anniversary of stopping Rangers winning the 10. So all you need to do is phone in 01419511025 before 7 o'clock and you'll be in with your chance of winning.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. In the first hour, we were taking a look ahead to this weekend. Of course, Celtic can wrap up the title with a win at Tynecastle on Sunday. A lot of talk about the Youth Cup final between Celtic and Rangers last night as well. A real exciting one, a 6-5 win it was for Celtic in that game as well. A lot of callers seem to be, you know, in the know about players' salaries as well.
Yeah.
The first part of the show, which has prompted Tuchel to tweet in, and he's found a website that has Gordon DL's net worth in it.
Oh. What does that say?
And it says Gordon DL's net worth or net income is estimated to be between $1 million and $6 million.
Well, not far away. It's somewhere in the middle, let me just say that, clarify.
The truest part of it is that it currently says your annual salary is under review at the moment. But the best bit about this website is underneath that section, it just has a section called Dead or Alive. And it says, according to our database, Gordon DL is still alive. So there we go.
He's hanging on.
That's reassuring.
Right, they're updating it every day.
Right, it's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yeah, time for Beat the Pundit, and it is a chance for someone to come on, win a signed ball, but also on top of that, this week we are giving away tickets to an unforgettable experience at the SEC Armadillo. It's a pair of tickets for Friday the 12th of May. It's a tribute night to Wim Jansen and Celtic's 97-98 team, who stopped 10 in a row 25 years ago it was now. So James is the lucky caller who will take part and Beat the Pundit, and has also won tickets to that. James tells me you're a Celtic fan as well, so you'll be quite happy with that.
Yes, I am.
Good stuff. I'm sure you'll enjoy that night as well. Have you got a preference of who you'd rather play at Beat the Pundit?
Gordon Dale, and I think he's worth a lot more than a million.
James, you're totally correct. I am. You like to see the bank book I've got, mate? No.
Oh, I know. Really heavy.
Oh, tell me about it. Zero after zero after zero.
That's it, Gordon. That's it.
Right, okay, you were telling me off on Tuesday, because right. What did I get wrong? Is it meant to be heads is the person to my left and tails is the person?
Heads and tails.
Right, okay, he was having issues with my my coin flipping. He said it's been that way for the whole time
years.
He's worked here.
About that. Andrew, hey, I wouldn't listen to him about anything.
When you're on a mill, that's what happens.
A mill to 6 mil.
Right, okay, heads, it is Mark Wilson. Tails, it's Gordon DL. And it's heads.
Okay.
It's Mark Wilson tonight.
Right. Come on, Jimmy.
I will put a bit of Greatest Hits Radio into the ears of Mark Wilson. There we go, all good. And James, 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions correctly as possible. Remember, the key is you can pass as well in case you don't know. So does that all sound good?
That's absolutely fine.
Okay, here we go. Who was the last Hearts manager to beat Celtic?
Robin Nielsen.
Which Scottish chef has teamed up with Rangers for a new menu in their hospitality suite?
Gordon Ramsay.
At which Scottish side did James McArthur start his career?
Hamilton.
Who won last night's Scottish Youth Cup final at Hampden?
Celtic.
Who are the only Scottish Premiership side who haven't won in their last 7 games?
Dundee.
Vasilis Barkas is currently on loan from Celtic at a team in which country?
Belgium.
Okay, right, let's bring Mark Wilson back in. Good to go. Good to go, Mark. Can you hear us all right?
Yeah.
Right, good stuff. I should probably fade your mic up. That might help as well, actually. Right, okay, 30 seconds on the clock. Who is the last Hearts manager to beat Celtic?
Craig Levein.
Which Scottish chef has teamed up with Rangers for a new menu in their hospitality suite?
It's got to be Gordon Ramsay.
Which Scottish side did James McArthur start his senior career?
Hamilton.
Who won last night's Scottish Youth Cup final at Hampden?
Celtic.
Who are the only Scottish Premiership side who haven't won in their last 7 games?
St Johnson.
Vasilis Barkas is currently on loan from Celtic at a team in which country?
Switzerland.
How many Scottish sides has Barry Ferguson managed?
Three.
Okay, right, James, three. What are you thinking? How do you think you fared there?
I think Mark.
Thanks.
I think Mark's got him. All right, okay, well,
thanks.
We'll go through them. I think it was tight. So who was the last Hearts manager to beat Celtic? You went for Craig Levein. James went for Robbie Nielsen. It's Robbie Nielsen. So it goes 1-0 to James. Which Scottish chef has teamed up with Rangers for a new menu in their hospitality suite? You both said Gordon Ramsay, and you're both correct.
Yes.
Of course. At which Scottish side did James McArthur start his senior career? That is Hamilton. So it's 3-2 to James at that point.
He get that
won
as well.
Hold on. How's it 3-2?
Is it not 3-2?
James get that one as well, eh?
James has got all three right.
Aye,
no?
All three right, and I've got two.
Yeah,
I got Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay and got Hamilton. Yeah.
Leave it to the quizmaster. You just count your cash in the corner there.
Okay, it's 3-2 at the moment. Who won last night's Scottish Youth Cup final at Hampden? We talked about it plenty tonight. You both got it correct. That's 4-3 to James now. Who are the only Scottish Premiership side who haven't won in their last 7 games? I think James said Dundee. I don't know if he meant Dundee United, but it wouldn't have been correct anyway.
If he meant Dundee United.
You said St Johnstone?
Yes. Yeah.
St Johnstone.
Correct.
Yes, I'm back in it.
You draw level 4-all. Vasilis Barkas currently on loan from Celtic. Just draw it from there. Vasilis Barkas is currently on loan from Celtic at a team in which country? It is Holland. He's at FC Utrecht. Neither of you got it correct. Mark Wilson got one more question James didn't get. He did. He got the Barry Ferguson question. How many sides has he managed? You said 3.
Winner chicken dinner.
Clyde.
Yeah. Kelty Hearts.
Kelty Hearts.
Alawa.
And Alawa.
and Alloa. So you get it.
Yes!
Correct.
Yeah!
And it is a last minute winner for Mark. Unlucky James.
You know the best it is, I know. My brother was only about a month and a half ago when he played Mark, and Mark beat my game.
Oh dear. You're taking care of the two of them.
I think your family members need to just stop phoning in, James.
I think so. We'll practice me, that's what we'll do.
Well, no sign ball for you, James, but you do have those tickets to go to an unforgettable experience at the SEC Armadillo, so I'm sure you will enjoy that. But it is a victory for the pundits, and that makes up for Gordon Dale's defeat on Tuesday.
Read about that. Yeah, poor showing for you when I'm away.
That wasn't a poor show. It was a good game, and I've got to say I was on form. He threw me off a little bit.
Andrew,
he's dropped me his phone. He's tossing a coin wrong. He was all over the place. You know, first time.
This is classic Gordon Dale, just blaming anything else for just a poor
tactics, Andrew.
It was.
I thought you were on the money there. Nice and quick, concise. James came up against a better man.
You'd think I'd be trying to help you out. I'm trying to get part of that $6 million fortune or whatever it is that you've got. I'm trying to get in that will.
Don't you worry. I'm spreading it amongst the boys. I'll make sure you boys are all right. You can pick your phone up now. I'll keep talking just to see.
I know. We'll
see a big crack on
that screen.
Big screen savers just cracked all the way up there.
I'll get it in the break. Right. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you at home. Let's take a look at the championship, actually, because that is going to be really exciting tomorrow night. And let's speak to Chris, actually, who is an Ayr United fan. Chris, how much are you looking forward to tomorrow night? How are you feeling about tomorrow night?
Looking forward to it, when they say so. Definitely going to be exciting, that's for sure. I don't fancy our chances up at Inverness, if I'm honest. I'd love to see it get a win, but Championship, you can't really predict it, can you? Andy can beat Andy in that league.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a league that it seemed like nobody's wanted to win so far this season, because you look at the points tally. Dundee, top of the table, only 60 points. I think it's going to be the lowest winning points tally for a team in this sort of version of the Championship, this format of it anyway. I mean, they could win the league with a draw tomorrow night, so they would go on to 61 points. But some of the games are incredible. Queen's Park Dundee is obviously the standout one, because it's a shootout to see who wins the league title, who goes up automatically into the Premiership. But the game that Chris is talking about, Inverness against Ayr, two teams competing for those playoff places as well. You've got Morton in about there as well, Partick Thistle. So much going on.
Well, we've seen the past for Chris on the phone that, you know, you finish in the playoff positions, anything can really then take shape after that. Who knows where you can end up? You could end up, you know, being promoted, obviously. So hugely nerve-wracking time for Chris and the Ayr United fans travelling up there. But we can't have it both ways. We moan about our Premiership table, Celtic runaway league leaders, there's no competition at the top. And then I hear people moan at the Championship that, oh, the standard's that bad that there is no runaway leader. It's been competitive, it's been enthralling at times. Yes, teams like Dundee, who probably have the biggest budget in there, would be disappointed that they've had the opportunities not to wrap it up and squandered, but it makes it exciting for the neutrals. Maybe not for the fans of the clubs, but
I think it's got to be brilliant tomorrow. The only thing that Chris has got going for him, if I was the manager of Ayr going to Inverness, I wouldn't even travel. I would just phone them up and say, there's the 3 points. Could not win a game at Inverness. And
just as well, you're not in charge then.
No, exactly. I've tried everything, going up the night before, on the day, taking the players to Johnny Fox's for a night out. You know what I like it is, Matt. You try absolutely everything. Inverness was a bogey team up there for me. But listen, it's different. It'll be an exciting game. Ayr will take a good support up there. And the one thing they've got in their favour, they've got a guy that can score goals.
Yeah, I think that takes Chris on to sort of the point he was going to make as well about just players in the Championship generally.
Yeah, it's guys that who you think could actually make a step up from the Championship. I'm thinking of Akinyemi, the boy Dom Thomas at Queen's Park as well, and there's a handful of others that could play at a higher level. And I think it just shows the strength of the Championship now, that there is players that can play at a higher level.
I think Akinyemi, any goal scorer that scores that amount of goals and he's got that presence, then I think you look at a lot of the teams in the Premiership and you think, yeah, you could see him fitting in. Although I think he will go down south after this season's finished. Dom Thomas, I think he's a great talent, but Dom Thomas has been in. the Premier League and Premiership, and he's at Queen's Park for a reason. So I do think there's a lot of talent in there, but I would just worry for the teams that's in the playoff position. If I'm being totally honest, whoever's in there and who's going to come up against a Ross County, a Kilmarnock, a Dundee United, I think there's big differences in those three.
St
Johnson, yeah, if they lose at the weekend, St Johnson, I think there's differences in those squads compared to the top four or five in the Championship.
Yeah, Chris, how do you rate the chances of the team that end up getting to the playoff final? Because obviously, as the guys mentioned, could be Ross County, Kilmarnock, Dundee United, St Johnston. Do you think there is a good chance for the best finishing Championship team to be able to beat them, or do you think it's a real big ask?
Oh, listen, if it's United versus Kilmarnock, I ain't bother at all.
That would be quite a playoff final, wouldn't it?
Oh, well, managing a few of their games.
Yes,
I've good record.
I've got a fantastic record. Never lost a goal. So get me in the dugout for that game, Chris. I'll come back just for that game. Might not stay for a full game because I'm very well known.
Chris, is this guy well thought of in Air United circles down there?
He's told me.
Right, Dad, it's a pleasure to speak to you, right, because you gave me some great days out in 2002.
Thank you, Chris.
I was going to say, was that anything to do with the football, or did he just take you on a night out?
me and Chris Hunt, Jack Rose.
That's not the answer I wanted. I wasn't expecting that.
Me and Chris Hunt clubbed Amara a couple of times. But I just think it'll be exciting the more. I think that Championship is brilliant. I think Chris is right. I think there's some good talent in there. Some good players. Akinyemi has been brilliant for Ayr this season. They'll be hoping that he can step up tomorrow night and put a couple in. But Inverness has got to be a difficult game, no doubt in that.
Can you call it at all? Who do you think is going to finish in those playoff places?
No, actually, you know what? I'm not going to stick my neck out because
it's incredible how tight it is, because you've got what, Dundee on 60 points, Queen's Park on 58, Partick Thistle 56, then on 55, Ayr and Inverness, and then Morton on 54.
But how could you put a logical argument for any of those teams after witnessing what's went on? And even the run at the end of the season, you know, you look at Dundee's form, you look at Queen's Park's form.
Yeah, Dundee have won one of their last five, as have Queen's Park as well. These are the two teams at the very top of the table.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're a betting man,
who do you think's got to go down?
Again, that's
a 50-50 choice.
Well, Cove would probably be favourites to survive. They're at home against Morton, aren't they?
No wonder.
Hamilton away at Arbroath.
Hamilton away at Arbroath's a very difficult game.
It's quite the fall from grace for Hamilton as well over the last couple of seasons. Was it six consecutive seasons in the Scottish Premiership they've had, and then they've just found it tough in that Championship.
Been a difficult period for them. Every sympathy with my old teammate. Two more teammates actually. Paul Hartley's at Cove, John Rankin at Hamilton. Listen, I know what it's like to be down there fighting for your life, you know, thinking you're facing the drop. I was saved by COVID. Not many people said that, but my managerial career got saved at that before I got the chop. Huge pressure on both of them. I've been there as a player as well, Andrew. Relegation battle, final day of the season. I was there with Dundee United on two occasions, and the nerves get to you. Luckily enough, we survived, but unfortunately, one of them's got to go at the weekend.
Chris, how important is Dipo Akinyemi for your chances of securing a playoff place and then potentially going even further?
Oh, he's a star man, isn't he? If you look at the goals we've scored, I think he's... If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be in the position we're in. So, definitely very, very important.
Yeah, he is one of the players that's up for Championship Player of the Year, Dipo Akinyemi, and a few others in there. I think Dom Thomas, Grant Savory as well, two of the Queen's Park boys, Paul McMullen as well from Dundee, make up the shortlist there. But it's just going to be an incredible night. You look as well, I think I saw a tweet earlier on, it was a Falkirk fan saying they'd love to, you know, finish in the playoffs and get Cove Rangers in the playoff because they'd quite like to come up against Paul Hartley.
Oh yeah,
there's all these wee storylines. Yep.
The winners are really the SPFL. They're not need to dig out the helicopter, will they, for the trophy on trophy day? The trophy's going to be there. Otherwise, they'd have to hire something to either go to Dundee or, you know, down to Glasgow or wherever. It could have been if it was two home games for Dundee.
Saw some quotes from Owen Coyle, basically, you know, comparing it really to the playoff final down in England, which it's not our actual playoff games that we have up here are always two-legged, the finals. So that kind of spread out the excitement. Whereas this is just a straight shootout to see. Clearly, there's not the same money on the line as there is in the game down south, but it's, you don't see it very often that it just comes down to winner takes all.
The only disappointing thing, I think, is I know that obviously the situation with Queen's Park, but if it had been at a bigger pitch, you'd have got massive crowd there tomorrow night. You really would. It'd have been fantastic for the players and everyone concerned. The excitement will be incredible. I'll be very nervous for the two managers in the dugout. I don't care how experienced you are. It means so much and it's come down to the wire. So there'll be a lot of nerves getting put about.
Bowen's right. I mean, in terms of England, of course you can't compare, but it's all relative to what Queen's Park's budgets and plans are for the next few years. Dundee probably think what they've spent this season, they really need to get up to get the recoup of what you get for getting into the Premiership and the fixtures against Rangers and Celtic. In Queen's Park, I mean, I could never have envisaged seeing them in the Premiership 10 years ago or growing up as a kid. So what's at stake tomorrow night?
Well, thank you to Chris. Of course, if you want to get involved in this talk about the Championship ahead of that big night tomorrow night, get in touch 0141 951 1025, or anything else that's on your mind, it's the same number.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025 if you want to get involved. Around 23 minutes gone between Celtic and Rangers in the SWPL1 league fixture. They've got the split in the SWPL1 for the first time this season as well, which is making it an exciting end to the season between Celtic Rangers and Glasgow City. But not too much action so far from what we've seen, Mark.
No, not really. Probably Rangers just, I would say, just about edging it where we've switched on. Mm. But not many clear cut chances. Obviously Celtic need to win tonight to keep in touch with Glasgow City, so decent enough crowd there as well.
Yeah, enjoying what I've seen so far. You know, Rangers getting a little bit of the better of possession, but nice to see them. But a good crowd as well. Nice night to go along there and watch a game. So I think we'll get goals.
Right, I'm looking forward to the callers, two callers that I can see on my screen here. But let's get this full-time teaser underway. Can you name the last eight players to finish the season as top scorer in the Scottish Championship? So full-time teaser, of course, if you send in your questions to fulltime@clyde1.com, and you can test the pundits on their knowledge. So can you name the last eight players to finish the season as the top scorer in the Scottish Championship?
Chris Doolan.
No, terrible start.
Shankland.
Lauren Shankland, yes.
Oh, hold on a minute.
For Dundee United and Ayr United, yeah, in consecutive seasons.
I've got. He went to Dundee from Thistle.
Okay.
Names would be good, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying my very best here.
Zach Rodden.
That's the very one I wasn't thinking of.
Well, it's not him either.
But so. He did go. Did he go to Dundee? Yeah. Thistle.
Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah. Who got promoted last year?
This is going to be
Billy McKay.
Billy McKay, no.
You better have a look there.
I'm having a look.
Still no.
Nope, still not there. Still not on this bit of paper.
Boyce.
Liam Boyce. There we go. For Hearts 2020-2021. I'll take one more guess from you. You can think through it logically. Think back through the seasons. Yeah, who was in the division in each season?
Think. Somebody for Kilmarnock must have been. Lafferty?
Give us a. Oh, there's no Kilmarnock players in there at all. None. Right, I'll leave you some time.
Is there a goalie in there? That's what I usually ask.
It's not happening for a millionaire tonight, let me tell you.
Right, let's go to the phones, because of course we were talking about that huge game between Queen's Park and Dundee tomorrow night, the shootout for the Championship title to see who is going to get that automatic promotion spot to the Premiership. I've got two callers on the line. One of them is Ewan and one is Rianne. We'll start with you, Ewan. Just tell me who you support, first of all. Dundee supporter. Rianne?
Queen's Park.
And how do you two know each other?
We've been married for 11 years.
There we go.
We've been together for 20 odd years.
That is going to be some night for you two tomorrow night. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, it's kind of mixed emotions. I think in the 20-odd years we've been together, I've probably been to, I don't know, maybe 60 or 70 Queen's Park games. If Dundee have not had a game. And, yeah, I know a lot of the people that Ryan goes with, and I know a lot of the people at the club, and it's, you know, really, really, really nice people, well-run club. And, yeah, it's obviously I want Dundee to win, but it's, yeah, the other side will be a bit of a kick in the nuts for you know, people that I know if they don't.
In terms of tomorrow night, are you going to the game together?
We're
going to go together.
Will you be sitting together, or are you going to be in opposite ends?
No, I was queuing up at Dens at 5 o'clock the other morning to get a ticket. So I'll be in the way end.
And Ryan, you'll be in the home end?
I'll be in the home end, yep.
I mean, that's quite something, Mark, isn't it?
Well, remarkable. Two from the same household together, and then it comes down to this showdown. I don't think there'll be many in that crowd that will have similar experiences. No, that's quite something. Ewan, will you go to the Queen's Park games if they get promoted next season? Go to the big grounds?
Yeah, I mean, purely because of Queen's Park. I mean, I was able to tick off all the grounds pre-pyramid system, because obviously they were yo-yoing in the second and third division, and Dundee were yo-yoing in the Championship and the Premier, so I was able to go to all the grounds. So I mean, I probably would go, but since we had our daughter, we don't go to quite as many games, but we get to sort of 50-60% of the games a season. So yeah, I probably would go.
Who's the daughter supporting?
Half and half scarf.
Depends what she's after.
Dundee United.
she's only six. But yeah, she's been to a couple of Dundee games. She actually against Queen's Park. She was sitting with me in the south enclosure. But she doesn't quite get it yet.
How's your head to head this year with Queen's Park and Dundee?
Dundee are definitely ahead.
We won the two at Dens, we drew at Ochilview, and I think we won in the league. So I think, but we seem to play better against Queens. That's one of the teams that we've actually played really well against this season. We just seem to have struggled against the more physical teams.
I'll gauge the confidence levels then, Ewan. How confident are you feeling ahead of tomorrow night?
If I hadn't been on the plastic pitch, probably a bit more confident. But I don't know. I'm not a betting man. I don't know.
You need a better performance than last Friday. I watched these against Cove. Not taking anything away from Cove, I thought they were very well organised, but I thought Dundee were very poor.
Ryan, how are you feeling ahead of it?
The last 6 weeks have been very up and down for Queen's Park. We've not played to our best, we've not played as well as we could have. So I'm going with not very many expectations. I'm surprised we're still sort of in this position where we've got a chance to win. So the fact that we do still have a chance to win, hopefully we'll go for it, do our best, and the boys can be proud of themselves at the end.
Yeah, it's a strange game, because when it is a sort of title shootout like this, or teams are going into the final league weekend of the season and can win the title, you'd maybe expect both teams to be in quite good form because they're at the top end of the table. But we mentioned it earlier on that both teams have been struggling to put a run of wins together. If either of them had over that period of time, they'd probably be home and hosed already.
I think Rehan and Ewan has just summed it up perfectly, and that's the way both teams will probably be feeling, pretty pessimistic because of what's went on in recent weeks. You're right, Andrew, usually this time of the season you've got one game to go, you're going into it, you're brimming full of confidence because you're almost there, but both teams have been poor in recent weeks. I would say probably if you're Queen's Park, your own coil, you'd maybe think, you know, a wee bit of the underdog feeling about it, and you're still in there with a fighting chance against an established, probably Premiership outfit in Dundee. You probably think, yeah, we've got the best chance here, maybe, because you'd feel good about yourselves. And Dundee, maybe the pressure's on them a wee bit more. But it'll be an interesting household when those two get home and late on Friday night.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be asking Gordon DL for any marriage counselling advice for you. But Ryan, we spoke to...
Well, if you do, I don't think they'll be together on Saturday.
Ryan, we heard from Dom Thomas on the show last night, and he was saying that, you know, that the squad's ambition was always to try and get promoted this season. Was there a feeling among supporters that was possible, or is this maybe, you know, a season been even better than you could have imagined at that point in the campaign?
I mean, I think coming into the season, certainly I and sort of people I know would have thought if we can stay in the Championship, if we can put together some good performances, if we can win some good games, then great. The fact that we're in the position where we're in the last game fighting to win promotion is amazing, unbelievable, really. Yeah, I don't think many people would have thought we'd have been in this position on the first game. I think if we could, I think probably if most fans would have, I mean, the fact that we're in the playoffs, even if we don't win promotion tomorrow night, I think that would have been a great achievement in itself, just getting to the playoffs. But yeah, I think we've just got to go for it now and hope the boys just do their best.
And on the flip side, you and I suppose everything this season has been geared towards Dundee trying to get back in the Premiership. Maybe more of an expectancy from supporters that it should happen.
Yeah, Dundee fans are a hard crowd to please, and you know, we're pretty guilty of getting on the players' back sometimes, which is not always ideal. But I mean, on the whole, Gary Bowyer's had the team really well organised, and you know, we've had, I think, something like 12 draws this season. If you know, you turn a few of those draws into wins, we wouldn't be sitting on 60 points. You know, there's quite a few games where we probably should have won and we haven't. And we were doing really well up to Christmas and had a couple of injuries. And then we kind of went off the boil into the new year and we've just slowly started putting a wee run together. I think we're undefeated in 7. But again, there's been a few draws in there. But, you know, you can't knock what he's done. And he's decided that a couple of players don't fit with what he's trying to do. And he's been pretty ruthless in putting them out the door. So, you know, give him time, and I'm quite pleased with, you know, how he's kind of got us shaped up.
Yeah, you do wonder what is behind those runs that Queen's Park and Dundee are on at the moment, struggling to get 3 points in games. You wonder whether it's potentially a pressure thing with the end of the season getting ever closer.
Go yeah, being in the position before, it becomes a bit of pressure. You know that your full season is depending on a few games. You start to get a little bit anxious. Then obviously teams round about you are fighting for their lives. As I mentioned, I watched Dundee v Cove on Friday. Cove fighting for their life down at the bottom as well. So yeah, it's the hardest thing in any sport is, you know, you see the winning post, it's getting over that line. And tomorrow night, one of those teams will achieve that. But I wish both of them all the very best.
Yeah, well, thank you to Ewan and Ray. Sorry, but Ewan, do you want to say something there?
Well, I was just about to say, in 2014, the difference was... you know, we had Peter McDonald, we had Beattie, we had Christian Nadi, and we just don't have that this season, you know, penalty box strikers, and that's the difference.
Yeah, I've got to agree with that, because when Raith won it, they had prolific goal scorer.
and I knew he was going to turn that to him there.
Won it twice, 35-34 respectively. And I totally agree. I think that
I was going to say 35, 34 years ago.
Yeah,
that probably
was a bit.
Probably was. But I think that'll be a cracker. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to sit and watch it tomorrow night. Enjoy the game.
Yeah, well, thank you to Ewan and Rhiann. I hope the two of you are still on good terms come Saturday morning. Enjoy the game.
Thank you.
There we go.
I know it's a strange one. That is in Oakleview, of course. Queen's Park have been redeveloping Lesser Hampden. Scotland, of course, training there now, using that as their training base. It is looking good at the moment. I wonder whether part of, you know, Queen's Park not moving there is the fact that the season had been going well. They maybe didn't want to change too many things since they were up the top of the table. It's maybe not fully ready yet either. But a game at Oakleview. There will be, I think, around 1,000 tickets away fans. Dundee are managing to get there after a bit of a discussion between themselves and the
SPFL. What can that hold, Andrew? What can Oakleview? It's a long time since I've been there.
That's a good question, because there is standing room as well around the edge.
Standing in three sides, one small stand. So, listen, the top attendance wouldn't be a lot, but nothing against Stenhouse Muir. They obviously... I wouldn't know, but
3,746 apparently.
Yeah, good guess. They've gave up their stadium, and Queen's Park thought that was the best place to go, which has served them well in this season, because they are in with a chance of getting promoted. But you would have liked to have seen it at a stadium that could have held, you think, the amount of Dundee fans. There's Ewan saying he was queuing for 5 in the morning for his ticket. Amount of Dundee fans that would have, you know, listened when he said that.
No, you're not listening, no?
No,
he
was queuing for 5 in the morning.
Yeah. He literally just says that a couple of minutes ago.
I apologise. I wasn't listening. He's probably not listening to me. I've got a couple for the teaser, but.
Right, Right, okay, let's do that. Actually, I'll update on the game between Celtic and Rangers in SWPL1 so far, because there has been a couple of big moments when we were talking to Ewan and Rianne. Celtic actually had the ball in the back of the net. Caitlin Hayes with a header. However, it was from a corner. There was a foul that was judged to have been a foul in that, and the goal was not counted. What did you make of it?
It's the softest foul you'll ever see. I don't think the goalkeeper's anywhere near strong enough. The Celtic player just stands side by side, just uses her body fractionally. The goalkeeper can't do anything about it, and it gets nodded in the net. I think that was incredibly harsh.
Blatant foul. I thought the referee called that correctly. I thought the goalkeeper impeded, so good refereeing.
Goalie's got to be strong, command the box, get in front of the player.
Not when you're getting fouled, Mark.
She didn't have her arms up. She just stood. The Celtic player just stood. So
she didn't
ridiculous.
Want to give away, apparently.
Ridiculous decision.
Yeah, I'm seeing a good bit of debate about that on Twitter. Rangers then went up the other end and forced a save from Pamela Tahanar. The ball was dropping in, looked to be dropping in at the back post, but she managed to claw that one away. So still 0-0, 37 minutes into that game. We'll let you know if there are any updates before we are finished, but let's make some progress on this full-time teaser. Right, can you name the last eight players to finish the season as top scorer in the Scottish Championship? So you have Liam Boyce, who was the top scorer for Hearts the 2020-21 season, and Lauren Shankland did it twice for Dundee United and Ayr United. So you have six more to get.
I'll give you two certainties. If these are not in the list, I'll wash both your cars, right?
Okay.
Must be Stephen Dobie, Queen of South.
Correct.
Right.
And the next one?
Right, this is my one. I'm sure Hibs. Was Jason Cummings by Hibs?
Yes, you can keep your chamois away. That's fine. That's all right. I'll have to get someone else to clean my car, unfortunately. So, Mark, have you got a guess for us?
Jordan White.
Jordan White. No, we'll get the rest after this break. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson alongside me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still 0-0 between Celtic and Rangers in the SWPL1 League clash tonight. Another save from Celtic goalkeeper Pamela Tahanar there. McLaughlin with a shot from the edge of the box, just had to palm that one away. So still 0-0, around 3 minutes to go until half time in that game, but there is some progress to be made on this full time teaser. Can you name the last eight players to finish the season as top scorer in the Scottish Championship? So far you have Liam Boyce, Lauren Shankland, Stephen Dobie, Jason Cummings, and you have four more to get.
I've got another two.
Okay.
Right. Stevie May at Hamilton on loan from St Johnstone.
That was a frightening amount of detail from you, almost as if you were reading that off of something.
But yeah, my bit of paper that I wrote down. It's all about now. And Wycorn for Rangers.
Wycorn for Rangers, 2015-16 season. You know what? You've only got two more to get, so we'll leave it there and we'll pick it up at the end of the show. But can you name the last eight players to finish the season as the top scorer in the Scottish Championship? Of course, ahead of a huge night of Championship action tomorrow. You've got them. You confident?
100%. Right,
okay. Championship's his league.
Yeah. 100%.
Knows a lot about it.
Yeah. And there's my phone before anybody.
Yeah, I mean, you were sitting on it throughout the whole break there. So
I wasn't. My phone's been sitting there.
He doesn't realise that we know that you can actually look at things and write it down in your piece of paper.
Yeah.
For referring back to later.
That's what I don't like about this show. I don't get any credit.
I think it's the same team. I'm a wee bit jealous.
I would challenge him and say we'd look at his search history on his phone, but we don't want to be doing that. So let's quickly move on.
I certainly don't want to be doing that.
So big news today coming out of Hibs. They've appointed a director of football, Brian McDermott, a name that a few people may be familiar with. He was manager at Reading, led them to the English Premier League as well, actually. He's also spent 5 years as Arsenal's international senior scout. He was chief scout at Reading. He was actually supported Celtic's recruitment team as well through some video scouting as well. So he has been appointed as their new director of football after an extensive search, the club say. What do you make of that appointment?
You wonder if it's a poison chalice at Hibs just now. Anybody that seems to come in seems to be under pressure straight away. But things haven't been right behind the scenes and upstairs at Hibs for a long time now. So they need a bit of stability. Lee Johnson needs a bit of help. I take it he had a say in what was happening. I take it wasn't he just
is that the way it works, though? Does it not tend to be that the director of football is kind of the person you have in place,
yeah,
and it's more the manager that is, they have a say on the manager?
Not only Johnson's history and being involved down south, I take it their paths would have crossed at some point, and knowing Lee Johnson's dad, then I take it they would have. I don't know if he gets the final say, but he would have been consulted, I'm pretty sure, on it. I like the thought of a director of football, but only if you've got a good working relationship. So that probably still has to be established. But positive move. They've done it at a time where, you know, the season's petering out. They're in the top six. They know they're probably what their budget's going to be there or thereabouts for next season. So he's got a lot of work to do.
I think that could be a good move. I think he's a good football man. He's been in management. He knows the pressures of management. He's very experienced. He knows, obviously, the English scene as well. So I think that could be a real good move from Hibs.
I think there was a bit of debate earlier on today, I saw on Twitter amongst Hibs supporters, about Brian McDermott not knowing Scottish football. Do you think that matters at all?
Don't think it matters. His experience that you've just rhymed off there about where he's been connected in terms of scouting, I think that's what matters. Now, you only have to look at the team that's ran away with the league, and where their recruitment has came from. No, didn't need to know. Ange Postecoglou didn't need to know an awful lot about the Scottish game to get recruitment right. It wasn't like when Gordon Strachan came in and he cleared out like a whole host of the Seville team and brought in a young Scottish group of players, because that's a market he kind of knew and the scouts knew. If there's knowledge of further afield, then that will be utilised at Hibs. But it has to be right, because a lot of the transfers that's came through the door at Hibs in recent years have come in one door and went out the other, and it's not been quite right. So it's a big job, a big role to take on, a club that the fans certainly expect much better. I've seen their season peering out. They've still got a realistic chance at European football, so they need to get that over the line, and that'll affect their budget for next season. But I think it's a good mix.
He's laughing at your phone.
Are you checking that, or you just got a kid on that? Wasn't yours?
I'm sure that's not someone texting you some answers for a full time teaser over there.
It's his phone, was it?
Because he's looking over here.
I'm trying to do a serious job here.
Come on.
And your phones are gonna.
My phone's on silent, mate. I was listening to every word
you
were saying.
And Big Sam
Allardyce. You in the caller earlier on where you weren't listening to anything he was saying.
Yeah, to be fair, I didn't listen to what he was saying as well. But you're talking about, does he know the Scottish scene? It doesn't really matter. He'll know the football scene. And clubs like Hibs like to look down south as well. He knows that. Lee Johnson's a manager. He came up, didn't really know the Scottish scene as well.
He played there.
Yeah, so but he's been away for a long time, Mark. And you've got to acknowledge
who
did
he play for,
here.
Gordon?
Who did he play for? Uh-huh. Up here?
Yeah.
Hibs.
No,
he didn't. Did
no.
The other side of the city.
Yep, he played with Hearts, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, and your big rivals as well, Kelly.
Oh, sorry, I thought you even said who did he's managed up here.
Oh, that's exactly what you thought I said.
But he's been away from a long time, away from the Scottish scene. So it'll be a big season next year for Hibs. I think it's a good appointment. Time will only tell. It'll be judged on his signing.
At least he'll go to the games as director of football. That's crucial.
Someone that used to spend afternoons here instead of. Yes,
you've got to be in touch with the team on the pitch.
My, I didn't want to put this guy under pressure, so my work was done Monday to Friday.
And I gave him the
remember
cafe. Those days, the cafe. We had some great chats in that cafe, didn't we?
Just thought, was it like the apprentice at the end of The Apprentice with a losing team goes and sits at a really terrible cafe? I can just imagine that was your team meetings every single week, just sitting in there. The wee
good.
Polystyrene cups.
That's it. And money's had to go. It was me.
It was good. It was good times, but the days have gone.
In terms of Hibs, there had been a lot of trying to get back to a serious conversation here.
Those days are gone. It's the glory days of Airdrie Football Club. Surely Airdrie fans are happy that those days are gone.
There's been a bit of criticism before with Hibs in terms of the recruitment. Ian Gordon, the son of the late Ron Gordon, he, you know, was in as part of the recruitment team. There was a lot of Hibs fans that were questioning, you know, his involvement and stuff like that. The fact that they've now got Brian McDermott in, who has that experience, you know, talking about the fact that he's been an international senior scout for Arsenal. He's done some stuff for Celtic as well.
Yeah.
That should give them confidence heading into this transfer window.
Well, like I said before, behind the scenes, the Hibs fans, I don't think were ever convinced at what was going on. You obviously hear whispers that things weren't quite running smoothly, to put it kindly. So a man of his experience and his knowledge with his connections is what matters in that role. And I don't think it matters about the Scottish game, or he's not plugged into the Scottish youth system here, because Hibs will have scouts who will report to him and probably sit in his desk in day one. There you go, there's what we've got in Scotland. What he brings is a wealth of knowledge of elsewhere and connections. And a club the size of Hibs, with the stadium they've got and the training ground, can certainly attract good players. It's all about the contacts and getting those players and knowing where the players are to bring them to the club, and he's got that.
Is this a good time for him to come in as well? There's five games left of the season. It maybe gives him time to assess the squad and what they need going into that summer window.
Oh yeah, and there's a lot of work to be done over the 5 weeks. You're right there, they'll assess the full playing squad, they'll assess exactly what they need. It gives them time, it gives them an opportunity, it gets that togetherness with the manager and himself working going forward, trying to get the best players available for Hibs. So as I said earlier, I think with the experience, and you've rhymed it off there, that the jobs that he's been involved in, I think it'll be a good fit for Hibs.
Just reading there, there's some news on Twitter. This is from sources in Turkey, saying
sources
that they feel that, or they believe that Ryan Kent has potentially agreed a deal with Fenerbahce. As I say, it is reports in Turkey that are coming out at the moment, so it remains to be seen whether that is true or not. There's certainly a sort of significant Twitter account from Turkey that's reporting that. Would that be a surprise to you? Is
no.
Sort of just expecting something to be announced in the coming weeks?
Not at all. Well, you would, because, you know, time's ticking down, and Michael Beale made it apparent. He played his cards first and says that, nope, he wouldn't see another deal coming. And I always thought with Ryan Kent, it was going to be something abroad that he would go for. I couldn't see him going down south again. And I thought his European form would alert, you know, teams on the continent that he could do it in that stage, and that's why I thought one of these clubs would come in for him. And I think that will break pretty shortly, that he has confirmed a deal there. Don't think it's any surprise to any Rangers fan out there at this moment in time.
Yeah, Michael Beale will speak tomorrow. We'll hear more from him, but he did really confirm last weekend, didn't explicitly say it, but it looks as if Ryan Kent and Alfredo Morelos will be leaving at the end of the season. I mean, it's very late to be getting into this discussion, but in terms of the job to replace them, will be big, even if their recent form hasn't been up to what the Rangers fans would want.
Yeah, and you'd imagine that the manager's already been working that. He's got targets there. You know, he should be in the front foot, because he knew that the two players weren't going to commit to Rangers, and I wonder if they'll play again this season. I don't think they will.
Well, that will be one, I'm sure, for tomorrow night. There'll be plenty of calls on that if it turns out to be true. We do have work to do on this teaser. Can you name the last eight players to be the Championship top scorer? You have Liam Boyce, Lauren Shanklin, Stephen Dobie, Jason Cummings, Martin Waghorn and Stevie May. Two more to go.
I'm going to
Michael
go
McKenna.
Michael McKenna.
That's the one you stole from
last season. You said you were confident you had both of them, Gordon.
Go on, Ned.
Go on.
Give us the last one, the big one. The tunes on, this is where you like.
Yeah, here we go. Pressure's on. You said you had them.
Did he play with Falkirk? Or Dundee? He played with both.
Yeah, he did. Oh, he's got this.
Has he?
Roy, how's he got this?
Roy, is it Roy Loy? How do you pronounce that?
Rory Loy. Goodness me.
Is it Rory?
You'll have read that on his Wikipedia page and got it completely wrong. But yes, you have all the answers. Rory Loy in the 2013-14 season. Rory Loy is the answer. But that is all for tonight. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for your tweets as well. We'll be back tomorrow night. Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller in the studio. It's Callum Gallagher that's up next.